Welcome to the Ignite Church podcast. Thanks for checking us out. We pray that this message will bring you hope and ignite your faith. Now lean in and enjoy the message.
It's good to be in the house of God. We are in our second, technically our third, but our second installment of I Check the Box series. And if you were not here last week, I highly encourage that you check out last week's message. I believe that God spoke and he just released a word that blessed me that I need to go back to re-listen and just take more notes on, right? I need God to just speak to me even deeper of what he was talking about, being intentional, living intentional, praying intentional, and having intentional worship. All of our preachings are available on our website, churchignite.com. They are there. You could share it with your loved ones. You could share it with your friends. I highly encourage you to go there and listen, re-listen, or listen for the first time to that amazing word that God shared with us. Today, I want to pick up right where we left off, and I believe that we're having such an amazing service already. What a beautiful time of worship, right? What a beautiful time of worship. Sometimes we forsake worship. We just want to, how many of you, when you go to a restaurant, right, you just dive into the entree. You're an entree person. You don't care about appetizers. You just go for the entree. Anybody here, raise your hand. No entree people. Okay, how many of you love to go for an appetizer first? Anybody here, an appetizer? And then your entree. How many dessert fans? Any dessert fans? Yeah, you leave room for dessert? Well, get ready because God is about to give you an entree, right? But I believe that he has something special in store for us today. Well, let us just pray for a minute. God, we thank you for the privilege and honor, for the freedom we have of reading your word, of encouraging one another, and learning through the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray that you will speak to us in the next few minutes and that you will move in this place, God, that you will feel freedom to touch us and invade our lives the way that only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Genesis 17 and just stay there for a minute. Book of Genesis chapter 17. I want to share with you a powerful story from the Bible that I believe is going to set the stage for what God is going to release in the next few minutes. What God is going to speak clearly to us and show us of what he is calling each and every one of us to do in our walk with him. I believe that we have been living challenging times for the past few months. If anything, 2020 has been a challenging year. And can I get an amen? Okay, if you didn't say amen, you're not living today because 2020 has been a challenging year. But I believe it's a challenging year because it's challenging our faith. It's provoking us to trust in God. It's provoking us to put our faith and return to him and not fix our eyes on the things that come and go, which are the things of this world. So God is about to release another seed to help us navigate this 2020, the rest of the few days that we have, so that we could overcome and we could be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus before this year ends. Abraham, say with me, Abraham. Today I'm going to be talking about intentional giving. Don't worry. This is not an offering service, okay? I'm not going to ask for a special offering. If you want to give one, praise the Lord. But that's not what I'm preaching about. This is not a prosperity preaching or anything like that. I'm going to be talking about something even deeper than what you can give financially. Now, if God ministers to you something about that, and ministers to you about your time, possibly, and more importantly, about your integrity, that's what God is going to speak to you. If you're in the book of Genesis, chapter 17, we find that Abram, say with me, Abram. Not Abraham, but Abram, right? We're going to see a change in this man that we know as Abraham is about to take place. We see Abram, that God is calling him, that he has left his family, everything he knows, into a land that he doesn't even know anything, but he is going to be faithful in what God is calling him. Has God ever called you to do something that you're like, I don't get it. I just don't get it. And you're like, do I do it? Do I do not? I mean, Abram was the man that said, okay, God is calling me to leave my family, leave everything I know to where he is calling me. Okay, I'm going to do that. I don't know where he's going to take me. I don't know where it's going, but I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to follow him. And so he did. He left and he finds himself now in the middle of nowhere with probably not an understanding of where he's headed, but God has a plan with his life. I came to tell you this morning, you might find yourself in a place that you think that you don't understand. You might find yourself in circumstances that seem impossible, but God has you in the right place at the right time. God has not forsaken you. God has not forgotten you. He has not said, oopsie doopsie, I didn't know they were going to be there. No, God knows exactly each and every one of your steps. You may have taken some steps that you shouldn't have taken, but God is rerouting your GPS so you could get back on path, and he is leading you to the destination that he has called you to live, because that is the God we serve. He is a faithful God. Can I get an amen this morning? Hallelujah. Abram, chapter 17, we find that Abram's life is about to change forever. Forever. God is about not to only change his perspective, but he's also going to change everything he thought he knew. Have you ever met someone? And probably you are that person that you met that thinks they know it all. Anyone? Right? You tell them something. Oh, I know. You share with them something, a discovery that came out recently in the news. Oh, I know. Really? You do? Man, you're a brainiac. Like everything you say, they say, I know. Oh, I know. I know. I know. If you're one of those people today, just tell yourself, I know that I know that I know nothing. I know that I know that I know nothing. When we're able to put our I knows to the side and say, the I am does know, we're able to receive what God has in purpose, in place for our lives. Listen to this. Abram was about to not only be changed and transformed, but his perspective of everything he knew was going to be changed. God was about to do something that will forever change the course of Israel. Forever. He picked one man, Abram, and he's about to change everything. I love this because it shows me that God's plans are greater than my plans. God's ways are greater than my ways. I think it's going to be like this. And he says, it's like this. Get ready for a rerouting in your GPS. Abraham, Genesis chapter 17. Let's start in verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old. Is anyone here 99? I don't think so, right? Okay. 99. The Lord appears to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant. That word covenant, remember that word, covenant, between me and you, and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram, but your name will be Abraham. For I have made you father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come. Listen, church, generations to come. Generations to come. Come on, come on, get with me here. To be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now reside as a foreigner, I will give you as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Follow with me in scripture. Then God said to Abram, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is days old must be circumcised, including those born in the household and brought with money from a foreigner, those who are not of your offspring. Whether born in your household or brought with money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Now, we've just read 14 verses. What is the first thing that pops out of you from those 14 verses? Circumcision. Thank you very much. You're like, wow, pastor's going to be preaching about circumcision? Ah! No, I'm not going to be preaching about circumcision. Don't worry. I don't talk about circumcision, nor do I want to talk about circumcision. But I want you to just focus. Out of everything we read, the first thing that probably you were focused on was circumcision. Oh my God, pastor's going to be preaching. I got to get circumcised. All the men are like freaking out if they've never been circumcised. Don't worry, guys. I'm not going to send you to the doctor to get circumcised. What I am going to preach about is the 11 things that were pointed out in these 14 verses. My covenant between me and you. Covenant. Say with me, covenant. God is a God of covenant. What does it mean, covenant? Covenant means agreement. It means contract. God made a contract between himself. Mind you, he puts himself first between himself and Abram. And he tells him, I'm going to make this contract with you. I'm going to bless you. And the descendants after you will be blessed. But this is the first thing you need to do. You need to obey and walk blameless in front of me. And how are you going to show that I have fulfilled or I'm that you're keeping my covenant part is that you need to get circumcised. Covenant between me and you. God is a personal God. We have forgotten this. We have forgotten the fact that God is a personal God. He makes a covenant with you. He makes a covenant with you. He makes a covenant with you. And your descendants will be blessed. Listen, because of you, and the covenant that God made with you, your descendants will be blessed. That's why you can't curse your descendants. That's why you can't stop blessing your descendants. You got to believe that the descendants, the things that come from you, will be blessed because of the covenant that God made with you. There's a contract. There's an agreement that God set with Abraham. But it gets better. Say with me, it gets better. Some of us need God to change our identity today into his purpose. Abram was 99 years old when this covenant was made, meaning there is no age restriction. Don't think that this is for the young guns. This is for all guns. This is for everyone. He was 99. Abram was in the middle of practically nowhere, indicating that God can do anything out of nothing. And if you keep on reading in verse 19, you will see that God can also give you what you think is impossible to attain. Must I remind you that Abraham and Sarah had no children? So how is God going to give them a descendant? How is he going to make them father of many nations? Verse 19, then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son and you will call him Isaac. And I love this part. And I want to focus on this. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. Say with me, everlasting covenant. You and I, everlasting covenant. You fall under that. Jesus comes from Isaac. We fall under that. We are a part of the everlasting covenant. Abraham was 99, and I forgot to say that Sarah was 90. Now, God is a God of covenant, and he remains like that. He does everything out of purpose with purpose. He does everything out of purpose with purpose. Everything he does has a purpose. But Abraham and his descendants were required of something. Could I hear it? Nobody wants to say it. I'll say it for you. Circumcision. I'll break it out for you. Circumcision. Circumcision. But Pastor, I thought you were not going to talk about circumcision. Well, yes, I am. Tell your neighbor he's about to preach on circumcision. Now, some of you might feel a little bit uncomfortable with the word circumcision. Why would God ask such a thing like this? Why circumcision? Why circumcision? Such a nasty thing to think about. Why circumcision would God ask between a covenant that he is establishing, and he's saying that the sign of this covenant will be that your children, your young boys from 8 days old must be circumcised. Is there any other motive behind this? Think about this. A covenant was being established, but God clearly said this in verses 10 through 11. He says, this is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. He's telling Abraham, yeah, the kids need to get circumcised, but you ain't getting away with it. You 99. You want this covenant? Then you must put your part. You need to get circumcised. Stay with me, church. I know it's graphic, but stay with me. The sign of the covenant. I imagine Abraham probably said, yeah, God, about that sign, in case you forgot, I'm 99. I mean, let's face it. I mean, like, could we just break that part from the covenant? Can we just cut that out from the agreement? How many of you have ever done a contract and you're like, you redline contracts? You're like, oh, this is not in favor for me, so I'm just going to redline it. You know, like, we try to redline contracts with God. We try to negotiate with God. But we just don't realize that God has a bigger and grandiose plan that we just don't see with our eyes. What God was about to do with Abraham was not just a sign of a circumcision. It wasn't about cutting off the foreskin. It wasn't about doing that. It was going beyond that. But it was a shocking thing, like when God is telling you, I'm about to bless you. But when you look at your bank account, you're in negative 300. When God is about to bless your healing, heal your body, and yet the doctors are telling you have terminal illness in your body, and you're like, what in the world are you going to do? God says, circumcision. I'm going to cut it off. Stay with me. I'm going to cut it off. Is there another way, God? He didn't say that, but think about it, guys. Put yourself in the shoes of Abraham. 99 years old. Really? Nah. You know, God wanted circumcision not because he needed the foreskin, but it was more for a reminder, a sign literally on their bodies that he is a God of covenant. He needed to remind them that he is intentional in all he does. See, circumcision today is common. Actually, is encouraged by medical experts because it has a lot of medical benefits. But is God still into circumcision? I mean, this was Abraham. This was before Jesus. You know, many people that only don't believe in the Old Testament will tell you, oh, that's Old Testament doctrine. We don't follow Old Testament. We're New Testament people. Okay. Since you're New Testament people, let's go to New Testament. And let's find out if God is still into circumcision. Go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 2. Verse 28 to 29, it says, a person is not a Jew who is one only outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code, meaning the law. Such a person's praise is not from other people, but from God. Yikes. So is God still into circumcision? Oh, yeah. But he's not into the physical circumcision as much as he's into your heart circumcision. Your heart. There are things that God wants you to cut off. relationships that are not good for you, that God wants you to cut off. Things that you are navigating in life, things that you're playing with, fires that you're playing with, that you're going to get burned, and he's calling you to cut off. Circumcision by the Spirit and not of the written code. Today, I see many Christians, but few Christ followers. Let me say that one more time. I see many Christians, but few Christ followers. And I say this with much respect and lots of love, because I too can sometimes become a Christian and not a Christ follower. I too can sometimes become a Christian and not a Christ follower. What's the difference? Well, many people consider themselves Christians because they go to a Christian church. Oh, I'm a Christian because I associate myself with Christians. Oh, I'm a Christian because I wear, I got a little fish on my bumper in my car. Oh, I'm a Christian because I wear a WWJD bracelet. Oh, I'm a Christian because that's how I was raised. I'm a Christian because that's what I was taught when I was little. I'm a Christian, but are you really what the word Christian means, which means you carry on you the life and death of Jesus? That's what it means to be a Christian. It means that you are set apart. You are circumcised of heart. That's what it means to be a Christ follower. And I know that last week we spoke about being intentional in the way that we worship God, that there is power when we worship intentionally and when we live our lives with intention, meaning with purpose. And I read to you 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now, let me ask you a question, Christian or Christ follower. Why are you chosen? Why are you God's special possession? You are set apart by him. You're set apart by him. The same thing that he was establishing with Abraham way many years before Jesus had come to earth and died for us. He was establishing through Abraham. He was setting apart these people because he was making a covenant between him and them. And he's saying, this is the sign. You are set apart. Now, I don't know about you, but I get excited to know that there is a God in heaven that looks down on earth and says, he is mine. He is mine. She is mine. That is my special possession, my chosen people, my royal priesthood, my holy nation. I have been set apart because I was brought out of the darkness into the light. Now, is my life reflecting that? Is your life reflecting that? Let's just take it a little bit deeper. If we really take a deeper look inside and be honest with ourselves, we find that we love God and the God of covenant when it's convenient for us. But we have forsaken the part of circumcision. God wants to cut away all the things that are not of God, cut away the extra that inhibits our spiritual progress, cut off the sinful nature that easily ensnares us. Genesis 17:24, Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised. Here's a man, here's the voice of God one day. Says, Abram, I want you to leave your mom and father. I want you to leave the land you know and go to the land I will show you. And he doesn't question God. The problem that we have, and I say we because I'm that person too. The problem that we have is we question every single thing that God wants to do in our lives. But why? Why do I have to go there? Why do I have to stop meeting with that person? Why do I have to cut off that relationship? Why do I have to start doing this? Why do I have to give them my time? Why do I have... How many of you have children like that? What's the first thing you want to do? Thank you. You want to give them a holy kiss, meaning a holy slap. That's what you want to give them. And you want to tell them why? You really want to know why? I'll tell you why, but first let me slap you and then I'll tell you why. Now, our God is not a God that will slap you. What he does is he sends truth, and the truth will set you free, because it is the truth that slaps your face. It is the truth that shows you, hey, you thought that this is what is right, but this is what is true. And you have to choose, am I going to live by what feels right, or am I going to live grounded on the truth? And God is telling Abram, hey, Abram, go to this land. And I love Abram. I wish I was like Abram. Abram said, okay, I'll go. Hey, Abram, I'm going to make this covenant between you and me. And guess what? You got to get circumcised and you're 99 years old. And he's like, where's the knife? He didn't say, come on. You already brought me out of this land. You got me out of my comfort zone. And now you want me to, what? No, God, I think you've gone too far. Nah, God, you can't enter those doors. It's locked. It's my personal, private space. You want me to what, God? No. You see, God, we have this agreement. I come to church on Sunday morning. I might get here late, but I still make it. I worship you. I give my tithes whenever it feels right. And now you want, what? No, that's not part of the agreement. Well, how many of you have ever done the mistake of never reading the fine print? Huh? Am I the only dumb one here that has ever signed their life away? I remember that I went skydiving many, many moons ago. And I was super young. My mom was freaking out, like all moms do, right? And I remember I went with my sister's stepson. We went together. And the first thing they make you do is sign a bunch of waivers. And each of these waivers have a bunch of words. Now, I don't like reading, if I'm honest. Like, how many of you actually sit there when you're buying a car and you read word for word? How many of you go by what the salesperson tells you or the finance manager? Anybody? Big mistake. Because there's fine print that they don't read. They don't even know that it's even there. Well, I start reading. Please initial here if you acknowledge that this could end in losing a leg, losing an arm, possibly dying, falling on top of Walmart. Check, 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 check. I checked all the boxes and I signed my name. Now I'm still here, praise God, right? I'm still here. But many of us are living lives like that. We're checking the box and we don't realize the contract. God made it clear, I'm making a covenant between me and you. But this is a sign. You need to get circumcised. Stay with me, church. It's time that we stop playing the church game and we start being the bride of Christ. That we return to the place of covenant, of intentional giving, of giving our lives to him. We're about to end 2020 in a couple weeks. And how many are excited to end 2020? Let me hear an amen. Anybody here? Anybody excited to end 2020? It's been a challenging year, right? Many of us today, and even those who are watching online, have been challenged one way or another. Some, unfortunately, have lost their jobs. Others, sadly, have lost a loved one. And some have been physically ill due to COVID or other sicknesses and illnesses out there. But if you know me, you know that I will always, you could ask my wife, I would always try to see the light at the end of the tunnel. That's just who I am. Now, I'm always encouraging people, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I myself am encouraged. I have a hard time seeing the light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to me. But it's easy for me to see it for someone else. Anybody hear the same thing, right? Well, I came today to tell you that God is about to do something. But listen, the more I think about this, the question is, if we are in times that the church of Christ is being tried, the question is, are we going to stand the test? Are we going to stand the test? Abraham was given a covenant, not one of pen and paper, but one of God himself. God made a covenant between him and Abraham and his descendants. But something's about to happen. You see, if you continue reading, you'll see in Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 5, that God gives him the son, he fulfills the promise, and he starts seeing the descendants coming. But something, God is about to do something. But first, he sometimes tries your faith. Anybody here like gold? Any people that like gold? Yeah. I like gold. I'm more of a silver person, but I like gold. How many of you have at least one gold object? Anybody? An earring, a ring, a bracelet, a watch. If you know about gold, you understand that gold is impure. When you read 14 carats, 18 carats, 24 carats, it doesn't mean anything other than the purity of the gold. That's why it's worth more, because it's more pure, it has more weight to it, right? Only because something has weight doesn't mean that it's valuable. The same thing, only because it doesn't have weight doesn't mean it's not worth something. Listen, gold is put in fire for a long time so that the impurities will start falling off of it, burning off the impurities. And how does the refiner know that the gold is ready? When he can see his reflection on the gold. God is the same way. God sometimes puts you in the fire and you're screaming in the fire, God, why have you forsaken me? God, why are you allowing this? God, you're not good to me. Or like daddy, like Liam tells me, you're being a mean dad, you know, and we say that to God, but God says, no. I have not stopped looking at you. I have not forsaken you. I'm not going to leave you in the fire, but I must put you in the fire so that as the impurities fall, I could see my reflection in you, the reflection of Christ. That's why we're called Christian. We carry the life and death of Jesus Christ. Now look at this. God is about to do this with Abram. He made a covenant, but things are about to change. Like many of us started 2020 excited, but right now you might not be so excited. But listen to this. Never give up. God is about to change everything if you stay faithful. Abraham, it says in Genesis 22 verse 1, sometime later God tested Abraham and he said to him, Abraham, what did Abraham say? Here I am. Once again, just obedience. Here I am. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain. I will show you. Say, what? Did I read that right? Let me make it a little bit bigger on my iPad. Sacrifice him? Like, what? What does God want? This doesn't make any sense. You made a covenant. You promised. Now you're telling me to sacrifice my son? What did Abram do? Abraham, early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants, his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. He didn't say, I will come back to you. He said, we will come back to you. Tell your neighbor, we will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham knew something that we tend to forget. When our faith is being tested, we must remind ourselves that God is a God of covenant. If something the church of 2020 needs to be reminded of, is that God is a God of covenant. Listen to me, church, because we have allowed ourselves, and I'm going to say it, we have allowed ourselves to be entangled by what CNN, what Fox, what Instagram, what Facebook says, and we have forgotten that God is a God of covenant. Look at your neighbor one more time and tell him, God is still a God of covenant. Verses 7 to 8 says, Isaac spoke up. And he said to his father, Abraham, Father? I imagine his voice like, Father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, he said. But where is the lamb? I mean, you know, for the burnt offering, like, where is the lamb? Abraham answered, and this is the answer you need to remind yourself, and this is what you need to say every time that the enemy taunts you, every time the devil shows you that it's impossible. You need to stand up and say these same words. God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. And it says that the two went together up the mountain. A person that understands that God is a God of covenant will always say, God himself will provide. I don't need to provide. I don't need to seek. I don't have to invent. I don't need to make up. All I need to do is that I need to believe that God himself will provide. Church, if that doesn't get you excited this morning, I don't know what else will be, but you need to remind yourself, you need to speak to your spirit, and you need to remind yourself, my God, God Almighty is a God of covenant, and God will provide. Pastor Eric, he's testing his faith. Yes. But Abraham wasn't dumb. Abraham had seen God move before. When he first called him to leave his land, he just walked by faith. And the Bible says that because he believed, his faith counted him righteous. By faith, you are righteous in Christ Jesus. Not by your acts, but by your faith. Let me tell you something. Satan doesn't care about how much you do. He cares about how much you believe. He doesn't care how much you can do. He's afraid of how much you believe. Abraham believed. And if you know the rest of the story, I think it's going to come out on the screens for you. Genesis 22, verse 10. Then he reached out his hand and took a knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son. Your only son. Church, God is still a God of covenant. The question we must ask ourselves today, are we still God's people with a circumcised heart? What is our part? What is the symbol of the covenant? The circumcision was the symbol. Not the physical. We're not asking you to go out there and circumcise yourself now. But the circumcision of the heart, the inward one, the one by the Spirit. Today, you and I might need to change certain things in our walk with God. Instead of living a life of checking off the box and just signing away, we need to become more intentional in our living, especially our giving. And I'm not talking about your monetary giving. That's important. What I'm talking about is your giving of your life to God. Anybody could give $1,000, but not many could give their life to follow Jesus. Many people could give riches. They did. When Jesus was sitting there, the rich people came and they emptied their pockets. Here's a grand, here's $5,000, here's $6,000. And this old lady, she had two pennies, which represented her life. Her life. And she put it down. And Jesus said, no one has outgiven this lady. For she did not give out of abundance, but she gave everything she had. That's what it means to live intentional. God is a God of covenant. He is intentional in everything he does. And he said, when Abraham was about to slay his son, when he was about to follow through in his obedience, because let me tell you something, when you follow through in obedience, God never backs up. God follows through with his promise. God follows through with his word. God follows through. He is a faithful God. And when he is about to lay his son, he says, Abraham, Abraham, I have seen what you have done. Hold back, hold back. I see that you're a God-fearing person. Listen, do not do it. And he said, look, verse 13, it says, Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over, took the ram, and sacrificed it. Hallelujah. As a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord will be provided. God is still the God of covenant, and he will still provide. Would you stand with me, church? Ask my wife to join me up here. God is a God of covenant. The question is, will you be a circumcised people? Would you have a circumcised heart? I want to pray for you. And in a couple minutes, when my wife joins me, we're gonna partake of communion today. I thought it would be compensating, important to do that today with this word. The ushers will come by in a minute to give you your little, I call them pods, as a wafer and the juice. Before we partake of communion, I want to ask you a question, because the Bible says that if there is any sin, don't partake of it, so you will not be found guilty of the blood of Jesus. My old pastor always taught me, it doesn't mean that you can't partake if you don't repent first. You have that opportunity today. Probably there might be things that you are facing. There are areas that God needs to just start cutting away, that you need to allow the circumcision of the heart. Wherever you're at, here or online, I want to pray for you. Would you close your eyes with me? God, I come together with everyone in this place and everyone watching online, God. Lord, your word says that we're jars of clay, meaning we are fragile, we are frail, we're also sinful. If it wasn't for Jesus dying for us, we have no forgiveness. But today, God, there might be areas in our hearts that you've been wanting to work, but we have been closing the door and saying, mm-mm, that wasn't part of the contract, God. But today, Jesus, we recognize that you are still a God of covenant. And in order for us to do our part, there must be circumcision of the heart, one that is inward. So, Lord, we ask you to come into our hearts. Forgive us of all of our sins. Start cutting away. Give us the strength to cut away with whatever you are calling us to cut off. It might be a relationship. It might be a habit. It might be a past. It might be things, Lord, that we know that don't please you, but we keep on engaging in fires that we're playing with that are going to burn us if we don't cut it off. Whatever it may be, give us the will and strength to cut away, God, so that we could live before you like Abraham was called to live, blameless. Forgive us of our sins, God. In Jesus' name.
At Ignite, we count it a blessing to engage each week with supporters just like you. If you were blessed by today's word, subscribe to our podcast and share it with someone you know. We believe in spreading the message of Jesus like a wildfire. Thank you for your support, and be sure to check us out on any of our social media platforms at Church Ignite. Until next time, be blessed, and remember, the best is yet to come.